And now I'm going to introduce our wonderful friends, Jeremy and Jocelyn. Jeremy and Jocelyn have been with us. We met them, it's a little over 4 years ago now, I think. And that was they were here in a meeting that we were putting on, a week-long meeting here in our church. And while Jeremy was up ministering, during that meeting, I'm sitting over there where I sit all the time, and I just saw him here ministering in our church when that meeting wasn't going on, when we were here together and for a week. And so we invited Jeremy to come for a week, and we called it an impact week. You probably heard about it, Greg, out there in Colorado. We had a week of impact, and we didn't know what an impact it would be. And what ended up happening when they came, Jeremy came first. Jocelyn stayed back with the kids. Jeremy came, and we had people every evening. People were giving their lives to God and just changing people. God was changing people. We had miracles, all kinds of significant miracles. I remember, I don't see Rick. Is Rick here tonight? There's Rick. Rick had a heart condition. Rick, why don't you run up here real quick and tell what happened to you? Because this was several years ago this happened, but we've seen this again and again. Why don't you just share your testimony of what God did in you that day?
Sure. I back in 2005, I was diagnosed with a heart condition. It was a heart ailment that was not supposed to have gotten better. It was just supposed to have probably gotten progressively worse. And it was in 2009 when Jeremy was here, and God just impressed upon me one night while Jeremy was up here holding a healing line that tonight was my night. I needed to go up. So I came up, and Jeremy laid hands on me, and I could instantly feel that something had changed. There had been really a heaviness on my chest, kind of like a pressure there that was there constantly, and it had been there for so long, at that point, 4 years, that I hardly even noticed it anymore. But I felt that immediately. It was like somebody had a grip on my heart, and all of a sudden it was released. And it's been that way since. I have had no problems. I'm able to go out and run every morning and exercise without any problems whatsoever. And it's
fully thank God. Healed. Amen. Thank God. You know, it's good not just to get healed, but to stay healed, isn't it? Isn't that wonderful? Good to stay healed. So, and we all, there's many people here around. Some of you, you're just here with us today for the first time. I'm telling you, if you look around the room, there are testimonies like that all over this room. You know, I think it was it 2 years ago, I was having terrible problems with my knees, and I was just in constant pain, and it was limiting my activities, and I was just here. You never even ministered to me. I was just sitting here during the services, and by the end of the meetings, that was gone, and I've never had another moment's problem with them. And I tell you, I like that. I like that. So, you know, I'm just bringing those up to encourage you tonight as Jeremy ministers. Just, it's not Jeremy. I mean, Jeremy's a nice guy, but he ain't all that. It's the truth. It is. It's Jesus. It's God's power. It's because we belong to him, and he belongs to us, and he's in us, and he's on us, and because he loves us so much. So while we're glad Jeremy's here, we're even more glad that Jesus is here. Thank God for that. Come on, Jeremy.
Thank you. Hallelujah. Boy, I couldn't think of a better way to start the service tonight. That's fantastic. Praise God. I know I was just doing the same thing today. I was just sitting back and reflecting on just some of the things we've seen here in this place and other places. And thank God Jesus is alive. We'll have more of that tonight. Amen. Jesus is here, and we will have people set free tonight. That's always what happens, where people come together believing. It's not an uncommon thing. It's not something that happens once in a great while, thank God. It is something that happens frequently and is becoming more frequent as we learn to cooperate with God, amen, and extend our faith out to him. The wonderful thing about Jesus is the Bible tells us he is the same, amen. And the more we get to be like him, the more we see his results, praise God. So, I mean, that was, thank God, Rick. I always think about Rick's testimony. That's one that stands out. in my mind, and I just that blessed me. That was one of literally hundreds of testimonies that happened that year, and then over the years, it's been who knows how many, you know, how many we count these 4 years we've been coming down here. Just as a show of hands, anybody else that during impact meetings and services, anybody else here tonight that said you were healed of something during those meetings, hold up your hand as a testimony. Rachel, yeah. Nate, right. Anybody else, hold it up. All right, brother over there. Good, amen. Who's that? Is that Gray? All right, good, Grayson. Amen. Thank God. Let's thank Jesus for that. Thank you, Lord. Amen. We've been having a good time in Insight. I'm practically a Georgian by this time, man. I'm moved in. I got a mailbox. My mail's coming down here. I mean, we're here, man. So for the next 2 months, anyways, amen. And having a good time, man. This school's been something on my heart for a long time. I'm so thankful to partner with Good News Church. It couldn't have really have happened anywhere else. It was so perfect that it was birthed out of the last 4 years of meetings and everything that happened. It's just the natural progression of what's going on. And we got a great group of students. I am excited about what they're going to do as they launch out from here. Something we're doing is we've got an assignment that we've given them, and we've separated this class. We got about 20 students, separated them into two teams, and told them they have to do an evangelistic event by the end of the school. So they are, and that's it, man. I am not doing anything with it. I said, you choose. I mean, basically, that was the extent of the assignment. Go do something. You go find a place. You go find whatever. You do it. You get people saved, and you get people healed. That's your assignment. Amen. And everything in the school is pointing up to that. Everything in the school is going to give them tools that they can apply in those events. So it'll be exciting. You'll hear about them. Come out and see them. Amen. And one of them's going to be in Thompson, I know. The other one's going to be, where's the other one going to be? Somebody else. That's the Transformers team. Brother Tom here. What? Richmond Academy. All right, good. Excellent. Praise God. So we're excited to see lives changed. So if you have your Bibles with you tonight, turn to Luke chapter 5, verse 15. Luke chapter 5 and verse 15. So yeah, we're excited about that. We're teaching them about praying for the sick, teaching them about sharing the gospel with people. And, you know, prayer for the sick is essential, not only to relieve the suffering of the hurting ones, but also it's essential to evangelism, isn't it? The Bible says that in Mark 16, the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and God worked with them, confirming the word with the signs that accompany it. There's signs that confirm the word. And I always say it this way, a divine message demands divine evidence. And I always tell people that I don't believe what I believe because grandma told me or because mom and dad told me, but it's because of what I've seen. I've seen signs that confirm the word. Amen. And, you know, it would be a crime against reason for me to believe that Jesus isn't alive today. It's not just blind faith, and it would be unreasonable for me to say Jesus isn't alive. It would be unreasonable for me to say Jesus didn't raise from the dead and he's alive today. Amen. Because of what we've seen. Well, things like Rick's story. I mean, just that. You've got a guy who doctors couldn't help. They did everything that they could for him. They did their best. Thank God for it. And they said he wasn't going to get any better. And then he walks in here, and we just act on what's written in this book. In this book, it says that believers will lay hands on the sick in Jesus' name. We do exactly what's written in this book. And as we act on this book, something supernatural takes place. Are you with me tonight? That is beyond natural explanation, that cannot be duplicated naturally under any circumstances. And it wasn't just some random thing, not some bolt of lightning that came out of heaven, but it was in direct response to the actions that we took by the words that are written in this book here in my hand. That's a sign that confirms the word. And it would be unreasonable to think that Jesus isn't alive. If you saw that once, it would demand investigation and you'd have to look into it. But we've seen it thousands of times. And we'll see it tonight. Everybody say, we'll see it tonight. So here we are reading in Luke chapter 5 and verse 15. And it says this. I'm reading out of the Old King James. if I could read it all, praise God. Luke chapter 5 verse 15. But so much more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. I'm going to read it again. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. Praise God. Well, I've been meditating on this scripture a little bit over the last couple months and thinking about it. There's some different, it's said different ways throughout the Gospels. It's different places. It says pretty much the same thing. That these people, they came to Jesus and they came to hear and be healed. And I thought, my Lord, what a wonderful atmosphere. What a wonderful environment. That these people, they came to hear and they came to be healed. They had an intention in coming to Jesus. They had a purpose in coming to Jesus. They didn't come just to see, well, let's see what this is about. They didn't come because they were fulfilling some kind of religious obligation that, you know, we should be here. They're having special meetings. We should be here. You know, whatever reason you go and hear the word, it's good. You know, it's good to hear the word. But still, the beauty of it is in these people, they came to hear and they came to be healed. I mean, that's beautiful, isn't it? I mean, how wonderful. They came to be healed. That was their intention. That was their purpose. With the same intention that it was clear cut. It was definite. Just like when you go to a restaurant, you go to eat. They came to Jesus and they came to be healed. They had clear cut intention and purpose for coming to Jesus. And, you know, so things could happen in that kind of environment. And the reason that they came to Jesus is because the reason they came expecting to be healed, and the reason they came to be healed and to hear the word and to be healed. But the reason they came to be healed is because Jesus' intentions were to heal the sick and to set free the captives. Isn't that right? And it was happening. So they came to be healed. It wouldn't have done them any good. It's just like if you, like we said, you go to a restaurant with the intention of eating. Well, you don't go to a gas station with the same intention, you know. I mean, maybe, depending on how many frozen burritos you're into, but you know. But you see the point. They came with that intention. Jesus' intention was to heal. So they came to be healed. Their intention at a restaurant is to serve you food. And so you go, and when your intentions meet, isn't it a wonderful thing that happens? Amen. And this is what happened with Jesus. His intention was to heal the sick and set free the captive. So they came to be healed, and their intention was to be healed, and their intentions met, and miracles were always the result. So I want to ask you tonight, what did you come for? Turn to your neighbor, say, what did you come for? Amen. You see, the Bible tells us that they came to hear and be healed. And I'm wondering, what did you come for tonight? Because I want to tell you tonight what Jesus came for. Did you know that Jesus is here tonight? Turn to your neighbor and say, Jesus is here. The Bible tells us that where two or more are gathered in His name, there He is in the midst of them. He's here tonight. And the reason that we have stories like Rick's, and the reason we have stories like Pastor Susie's, and the reason we have stories like everybody that rose their hands, just like Pastor Susie said it, it's not because I'm here. It's because Jesus is here. And it's not just because Jesus is here, but because Jesus' intentions are exactly the same tonight as they were 2,000 years ago when Luke chapter 5 was written. His intention is the same as it was then. So you can come with the intention. Thank God, because Jesus' intentions are the same. You could come and intend to be healed and not leave disappointed. Amen. Turn to your neighbor, say, you don't have to be disappointed tonight. I'll have you talking as much as me before we're done. You see, Jesus' intention was, the Bible tells us, and He stated it in different ways in different places. He said, the thief cometh not, but to steal, to kill, and destroy. But He said, I've come. So he's stating His intentions. I've come to give life, and life more abundantly. Amen. In another place, He said He came to destroy the works of the devil. You say, well, what does that look like? Well, we could take John 10:10, where it says, the thief cometh to steal, kill, and destroy. That's the work of the devil. Stealing, killing, destroying. And He said, but I've come to give life, and life more abundantly. And He said, I've come to destroy the works of the devil. Jesus came up to a woman in the Bible. She was bent over for 18 years with a spirit of infirmity. Jesus came up to her and said, ought not this daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has oppressed? So in other words, the devil had oppressed her. Ought not this daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has oppressed, ought not she be loosed from this infirmity on the Sabbath day? And He healed her. Amen. And we see these two things going on there, that we see that there was an oppressive force going on in her life. And then Jesus comes on the scene, and his intention was to see that work destroyed. His intention was to see her loosed from that bond. His intention was to see her set free and made whole. And that woman who was bent over for 18 years in an instant by the power of Jesus was made straight and stood up as straight as any other normal person. And that same power that made that woman straight, that power is here tonight to do whatever you need done in your body. Turn to your neighbor, say, it's here. His intentions are the same. His intentions are the same. And so this is what it looked like. These people came. The Bible tells us they came to hear and be healed. This is repeated, this story, time and time again throughout the Gospels. And then even after Jesus raises from the dead, he ascends to the right hand of the Father. This picture is repeated throughout the book of Acts after Jesus is gone bodily. And we see it in Peter, as they says that they even brought out the sick into the streets, to that even if Peter's shadow might fall upon them, they'd be healed. And it wasn't so much Peter's shadow, it's just what they were expecting. That's where their faith was at. That they said, boy, if I just get into his shadow, we'll get it. Amen. And you'll see this scene repeated, that there was people brought to Jesus, and that they were healed of every kind of infirmity, that the blind would see, the deaf would hear, and the lame would walk. And wherever the body of Christ is functioning properly in its role, it always looks this way. Somebody say amen. This is Jesus' intentions, not just for his physical body when he walked the earth, but this is Jesus' intentions for his body, which is the church, which is all of us. And any time that we're functioning in our proper role, any time that we're standing in the place that we're supposed to stand in, this is what it's going to look like. Now, you know, Acts 10:38 is one of my favorite scriptures about Jesus. It said he went about doing good. Everybody say good.
Good.
Turn to your neighbor, say he did good.
Good.
He did good. And thank God. You know, because really, I tell people this, it's just a benefit. You know, our postmodern idea, sometimes people are kind of like, well, I don't know if I could serve a God like that. I don't know if I could serve a God like this or like that. Well, I know me personally, I'd serve God no matter what he was like. Because he's still God. What option do you have? Are you hearing me? You know, if God was a mean old hateful taskmaster that pleasured in your suffering, you don't have anywhere else to go. Amen. You know, if God just being God, see, we've kind of lost the concept of God in this idea of just, you know, we've lost the concept of what God is, the concept of a creator. That, you know, no matter what God's like, our mission in life should just be try to stay on his good side. Amen. Amen. But the beauty of it is, everybody say, here's the beauty. The beauty of it is that God is love. And Jesus went about doing good. It's wonderful. Jesus went about doing good. He laid his hands on blind people and they saw. He laid his hands on deaf people and they heard. And just generally, what you and I would consider good is what Jesus did. You know, that Jesus even said it this way. I think we read it. It was in the service this morning at some point in time where Nate, one of you guys read it, that you being evil and being earthly know how to do good for your children. How much more will your Father in heaven, I think it was Greg, right? How much more will your Father in heaven do good? Amen. So the comparison being made, Jesus coming to your, you know, inviting you to use your general good reasoning to say whatever you think is good as a father, that's pretty much what the Father wants to do for you. Now, so thank God. The Bible says Jesus went about doing good. And I always say it this way. I never saw, you know, how many are familiar with the grew up in church? Raise your hands. How many people we got here that grew up in church? Sunday school. And, you know, I've shared here before. In my Sunday school, we had the felt board. And how many had felt boards in your Sunday school classes? And in the felt board, you saw the miracles of Jesus played out in just the technology of the late 70s and early 80s. And with paper cutout figures. And you would see, you know, the blind see and lepers cleanse. The lepers cleanse was always my favorite. You know, you'd have a couple palm trees in the background, a light gray felt board, a couple of Middle Eastern looking, you know, Mogadishu looking buildings, and then Afghanistan looking huts, and a couple you know, a couple palm trees, and then you had the leper, and he had the leprous spots on him. And if you had a good Sunday school teacher, she could switch it out with the clean one real fast, and you'd watch the miracle happen before your eyes. It was wonderful. State of the art, man. State of the art technology right there. The felt board. Whatever happened to the felt board? So, I tease Jocelyn. See, I went to art school. I was a sculpture major and a photo minor. And I always, Jocelyn and I always joke that when I tell my testimonies, I'm going to make a felt board. And here is our 240 Volvo. And here we are going out. And, you know, when I talk about stepping out into ministry, praise God. Amen. So, wouldn't that be great? So, I would like it. Nate would like it. I could tell. So, anyhow. But in all these stories, right, all these felt board stories, I never see Jesus pluck out somebody's eyes and make them blind. Do you? I never see Jesus take a pipe and wipe out somebody's kneecaps and say, here, this will be a blessing to you. You might not understand it now, but you'll be closer to me because of it and people will be saved. I never saw Jesus do that. Amen. I never saw him, you know, stick a knife in somebody's ears and pop out their eardrums and say, you know, it sounds ridiculous, but listen, this is how some people believe it. And pop out somebody's eardrums and say, here, you know, you're not going to hear anymore, but you're going to understand me. You're going to be closer to me. Your relationship with me will be better because of it. I never saw that happen in the Bible. Did you? No, the Bible said Jesus went about doing good. And he went about healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And he's here to do that tonight. That was his intentions then. That's his intentions now. Praise God. His intentions are the same. And they're good intentions. He's got good intentions for you. But the good thing about Jesus is he doesn't just have good intentions, but he's got power to make those intentions a reality. Praise God. But these people, they came to hear and be healed. And they were not disappointed because Jesus' intentions were the same. And I think many times that's why people would question whether they would be healed or not, whether they would be helped or not, because they don't know if that's God's will for them. They don't know if that's what God wants for them. And they have these thoughts not because of the Bible, because the Bible is incredibly clear on the subject, but God has been, you know, God has been, the thing about God and the thing about Jesus is he has been so misrepresented on so many levels. And so many things have been blamed on God that he didn't do. Boy, it's not fun to be blamed for something you didn't do, is it? And here, God, he's been blamed for more things than just you could even fathom or even imagine. But the people, they came to Jesus, and the reality is, no matter what people say, Jesus went about doing good, and he went about healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And his intentions were to do good in people's life. His intentions were to set free the captives, to relieve the suffering and pain of the hurting, to set free the bound. That was what he came to do. That was what he did everywhere he went. And everybody that he sent out to do the same thing. Every one of his representatives, he sent out to do the very same things that he did. When he sent out the 12, he sent them out to heal the sick. When he sent out the 70, he sent them out to heal the sick. In Mark 16, when he sent out the church, he said these signs would follow those who believe. One of those signs we talked about this morning, one of the other signs was laying hands on the sick and they'll recover. He said that was a sign that would follow every believer, that would follow the entire church. So this intention of Jesus was not only his intention for his earthly ministry when he walked the earth, but it was his intention for the whole body of Christ. As long as we would walk the earth, as long as the body would exist on the earth, that we would carry out the mission that he started. Setting free the captive, setting free the hurting. Amen. And that's what he's here to do tonight. Everybody say, that's what he's here to do. But you see, my question is, what are you here for? The Bible says they came to hear and be healed. Well, I could tell you what Jesus is here to do for you. He's here to heal you tonight. He's here to help you tonight. He's here to work in your body tonight. He's here to do for you what he did for all those people in the Bible. He's here to do for you what he did for those people in the Gospels. He's here to do for you the story I told about that woman who has been over for 18 years of infirmity. That's what he's here to do tonight. His intentions are the same. But what are you here for tonight? Now you might be here for, I know we've advertised this as a miracle service. I'm sure there's people that have come expecting. And you've come here expecting. You have a need in your body. You've come here to be healed. Thank God. I've got good news for you. You're in the right place because you're in a place where Jesus is, where we're believing for miracles. Amen. And we're in a place where we've seen him do wonderful things for many other people. And he's no respecter of persons. He'll do for you what he did for them. Maybe you're here tonight and you didn't come with the, you know, you didn't come to be healed. You came because, you know, whatever, your bus is in town from South Carolina, or you're just here. It's just another service. You got to clock your time. But the wonderful thing is intentions can be changed. Amen. Your original intentions might not have been to be healed, but you can change your intentions and you can leave here changed by the power of God. Amen. There was a story in one of the first meetings that I preached. It was an evangelistic service when I was still in art school. And my dad worked with this guy named Eddie. And I've told the story here before. Eddie was one of these guys who picked on Christians. You know, he just liked to pick on them just because. And my dad would always try to share the witness to him and share the gospel with him. And Eddie would just give him a hard time. And Eddie would make fun of him. And Eddie would try to embarrass him and tell bad jokes around him and all these kind of things. But my dad was praying for him. So my dad says, I'm preaching this service. My dad calls me before the service. And he says, I'm going to invite Eddie to the service. I said, great, bring him. That's wonderful. He says, let's pray and believe God that he'll be born again. You know, that he'll see the light of the gospel and all that. He'll see Jesus for who he is. He'll accept God's plan for his life. We said, yeah, let's pray. Let's agree. So my dad and I agree before the service. We pray for Eddie. The next phone call I get is from Eddie. My dad invites him. Then he calls me. And he says, hey, I'm coming to your service. I said, great, Eddie. That's wonderful. He says, I'm going to sit in the front row. He says, and I'm going to make faces at you for the whole service. This is what the guy says, man. He didn't come and like hide out in the back, you know, and like slip out. He was good to his word, man. We had a couple hundred people there, you know. He marched down to the front, sat in the front row right in front of me, folds his arms, and he makes faces at me the whole service, you know. So, or at least the beginning of the service. You got to, you know, the guy had guts. You got to give him that. So he didn't care. He wasn't going to hold out in the back. He just come in like he owns the place, sit in the front row, you know. Praise God. But something happened during the preaching. He's sitting there and he started off, you know, just kind of scowling at me and stuff. And I really lost track of him. I wasn't looking at him. I'm just preaching just like tonight. And then all of a sudden his countenance changed and then his arms kind of went down to his side. I had a friend of mine sitting next to him and he just kind of saw me. He said things changed. And then at the end I gave an invitation and I said, listen, God's got a good plan for you, just like we're doing out on the streets. Said, I asked, would you like to make Jesus your Lord and Savior and ask people to raise their hands? And Eddie's hand went up. I mean, his hand went up. And he, after the service, he shook my hand and he says, thank you. It took me 65 years to find him. He was 65 years old at the time. Well, my point of sharing that story tonight was that his intention was not to make Jesus his Lord and Savior. His intention was to come and make fun of the preacher. But he changed his intentions, didn't he? Maybe you came tonight just to see, you know, whatever, what's this all about? What's a miracle service? But I want you to know that it's for you tonight. You could change from spectator to participator. And you can participate by receiving whatever you need from the Lord and leaving changed by his power. Amen. Maybe you didn't come to be healed, but you can still leave healed. It's not too late. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, you can leave healed. They came to be healed, though. It's a beautiful thing. We need to have this intention once again, don't we? We need to have the intention that when we come to services, when we come like to these classes this week that are going to be going on, we don't just come to clock time, but we expect supernatural results and we expect supernatural change. They came expecting God to do something in their life that this world could not do in their life. They came to be healed. They came expecting in their life what only Jesus could do for them. They came expecting not natural results. They didn't plan on leaving with just a notebook full of new notes and new ideas and new concepts and new philosophy, a new interpretation of the world around them. But they came with an expectation of the supernatural. They came with an expectation. They came expecting an encounter with God. This is always how we should approach the things of God. They came to be healed. Well, they came expecting something. They came expecting God to do something in their life. And that was Jesus' intention. Jesus came to do something in their life that natural things could not produce in their life. Well, that's what I'm here for tonight. I didn't come just to give you a good message. We didn't come just with a message about God's healing. We came with His power in Jesus' name to set you free. And you know, that's not everybody's intentions nowadays. The church, like I said, God's been so misrepresented at different times. This was always Jesus' mode of operation. This is always how He did it. He never sent anybody out with just words. The Bible says the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. He didn't just send them out and just say, just share my words. He sent them out with His power that would change people's life in a way that no natural thing could. Amen. The kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. You know, some people, that's been one of the most misrepresented things today is the power. Bible warns us about in the end days, there'll be a form of godliness denying the power thereof. You know, some of our top leaders in the church today, I started to read a book on vision. And the book was based on Nehemiah. And this pastor has a very large church. And if I shared his name, a lot of you would know who he was. It's an inside joke. That's why you're not laughing. Never mind. But anyways, we always laugh when people say that. Do you ever hear somebody say that in a service? If I said his name, you all know who he was. So now we say that in our family, like Justin and I, and you know, like we'll be driving down here to Georgia and you know, I have a son, Cohen, and a daughter, Eden. Cohen will say, I have to use the bathroom. And we'll say, there's somebody in the car that needs to use the bathroom and you'd know his name if I said who he was. So I always joke when people say that in services, you'd know his name if I said who he was. Why do they even bother, you know? But I do it myself all the time. So this pastor's a big church, and you'd know his name if I said who he was. He wrote this book on vision. And in the book is based on Nehemiah. And he states why he chose Nehemiah as his subject. He said, I like Nehemiah because Nehemiah, in the story of Nehemiah, there's no overt miracles. And that is more relevant to our life today. Well, bad news if you go to that guy's church and you need an overt miracle. Are you hearing me? And then he said, he makes this statement. I can't even believe they put this in print. He makes this statement. He says, I'm going off a little bit here. So aren't we tempted to be suspicious of these guys with the supernatural ace up their sleeves? That's a direct quote. Aren't we tempted to be suspicious of these guys with the supernatural ace up their sleeves? I mean, you mean like Jesus Christ? Or the Apostle Peter? No, I tend to be more suspicious of the guys who don't have the supernatural ace up their sleeve. Amen. Because all of Jesus' crowd all had the supernatural ace up their sleeve. No. No, man, the gospel has always been a gospel of power. Jesus always intended for the ministry of the church to be a ministry of not words, but power. And thank God, because we need power, don't we? Amen. This world has always been a bad neighborhood since the fall. And, you know, pretty much since the fall, you know, some people talk about, boy, it's so dark where I come from. And it's dark here. And, you know, as an evangelist going to different places, it seems to be there's a competition of who has the darkest place, you know. Oh, it's real hard here, you know. It's hard in New England. It's hard wherever. It's hard here. And everybody thinks that their city, you know, besides the South, everybody thinks that their city is, everybody thinks that their city is the darkest place and the hardest place. Even in Russia, it's the same. Certainly, you know, oh, it's dark here. It's worse than Moscow. You know, it's bad out here. There's a curse on this place. Well, you know, the whole earth has pretty much been a bad neighborhood since the devil showed up. Isn't that right? And it's always been the same everywhere. So he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Like we said, it says in John 10:10. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He comes to destroy lives. He comes to hurt people. But thank God there's power that flows from the resurrection. And that power's intention and that power's reason is to raise you up, to relieve your pain and suffering, to make your life livable, life and life more abundantly. That was Jesus' intention. Not to bring you just a pep talk. Not to bring you just a different way to look at you, to interpret your circumstances. Too much of religion is just interpretation. It's just slapping a label on your pain and suffering and giving you a different way to look at it. That was not Jesus' intention. The message of the gospel is not look on the bright side. You know, the message of the gospel is not the glass is half full. The message of the gospel is he can come into your circumstances and change them to what he wanted them to be by his power. Hallelujah. Everybody say there's power. I love Greg's testimony today because it was a testimony of the power of God. It was a testimony of what God did in his life, that it wasn't some new concept that it wasn't a new theological deep concept that he came up with. And yeah, I think I have a new way of looking at this. The power of God came into his life and did something for him that he couldn't do for himself, that no man could do for him. How many of you say that's what God did for me? Raise your hand. That's right. The kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. I'll share some testimonies. Then we'll minister to the sick here tonight as the Lord leads. Like we said, they came to hear and be healed. They came with an expectation of an encounter with the supernatural. Amen? And if you didn't come here with that intention, it's not too late. You can still leave. But I do want, you can leave changed by his power still. But I do want to encourage you, whenever you come to God, whether it be in prayer at your house, whether it be whatever you do, whenever you open up the Bible in your devotional time, whatever it is, expect more than what that natural action will produce. When you go to church, expect more than what that natural action will produce. They came to hear and be healed, the Bible says. When you go to all the classes that are made available for you throughout this week, to my Insight students, when you guys come, don't just come expecting just some notes, you know, that you'll just get, but you come expecting supernatural results, supernatural change, to encounter the power. Amen? I was reading some testimonies today and just kind of reflecting. You know, one of the testimonies that happened here, we were working with the radio station in town, the Christian radio station, and we were preaching, and there was a Baptist sister who saw us on TV. Her name was Willa. And she saw that we were talking about some of the testimonies that were happening here. She was on a 24-hour-a-day oxygen prescription. She carried a tank with her. She had it when she came to the service that night. But she saw us on TV. I was preaching Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever, talking about the woman with the issue of blood, said we were a Good News Church. Willa said, I got to get there. I got to get to Good News Church. Baptist sister from one of the bigger churches in town here. And she says, I got to get there. So she came. And she showed up that night, and she had her tank with her. And what the doctors, she had been, how long had it been? Several months that she'd been in that condition. She couldn't even go grocery shopping for herself. It was so serious. Somebody else was doing her shopping for her and all that. And but she came that night needing a miracle. She was in respiratory failure. She was a nurse, and she was not getting any better. She was only getting worse. She came with the tank that night. We laid hands on her. She rejoiced, and thank God. She left that night, came back the next night without her oxygen tank. Amen. And then she came back night after night without her oxygen tank, testified that she was going grocery shopping for herself, testified that she was doing great. And then she came back, what was it, 2 years later, she just came back, testified, still doing great, off the oxygen, her breathing's restored and doing wonderful. Amen. And that happened right here. Well, I couldn't do that for somebody. Jesus did that for somebody. And he did it in, as we prayed in his name, that happened. Amen. We were here, and I was down south here. Not here, but I was down south and was in a city called Dallas, North Carolina. A man was there who, Dallas, North Carolina. A man was there, and his feet were turned out. And he said that he had a lot of pain in his back, and his feet were turned out like the opposite of pigeon-toed, you know, like they're turning out and pointing out to the sides. And he came forward, and I guess they were just continually turning out and getting worse. And he said, my feet are turning out, and I got a sharp pain in my back. And so we prayed for him in Jesus' name. And what we did, though, is we had him sit in the front pew. The church had pews. We had him sit in the front pew. I put my palms, put his heels in my palms and just commanded in Jesus' name. And we just watched as those feet just turned and pointed up towards the ceiling and came straight. Amen. All the pain left his back. And he got up and he's crying, you know, and he says, boy, you know, he's crying. I said, well, turn around, tell the people what the Lord's done for you. He says, my feet are straight and the pain in my back is gone. And then bam, he takes off running, you know, starts running around the church. Amen. Well, I'd run too, you know. He was happy. Well, Jesus did that. I couldn't do that. You see, he did that because he's the same. Everybody say he's the same. He is the same Jesus that he's always been. Thank God my faith is in him tonight. He's here, the same Jesus we read about in the Bible. He's here tonight. He doesn't have any less power. He doesn't have any less compassion on you. He doesn't have any less ability. He is the same Jesus. He hasn't changed. He doesn't have a different job description than he had 2,000 years ago. He's still on the same job, and that's setting free the captive, healing the sick, opening blind eyes, and opening deaf ears. Amen. He's still the same. His resume still reads, his job description and resume reads like it always has. This is what he does. Amen. So then we were down here in, and I'm sharing a couple of these for a reason. We were up in Cleveland, Ohio. A woman came in by the name of Kimberly. She was in a house fire, and she had very serious breathing trouble. And she was on 24-hour-a-day oxygen prescription also. And she could not go up and down stairs. She could not play with her kids without, like, really, laboring, you know, in her breathing. So we prayed for her. And really what happens, she came to a service in Cleveland. I said, what can I, you know, she left her oxygen tank at her chair. I said, what can I pray with you about tonight? She says, well, I have trouble breathing. Well, that was an understatement, you know. I said, well, she said, I have trouble breathing and I have trouble walking. I said, well, would you take a walk with me around the church? Well, you know, she was new to all this, but Jesus would always tell people to do something. He'd say, stretch forth your hand or, you know, take up your bed and walk. So I said, well, would you walk with me around the church? And she just kind of glared at me. And she told me later, like, what she was thinking in her mind at the time. She said, I just told you I have trouble walking, you know. And I told her, let's take a walk around the church. So I took her by the hand and started to walk. And as we walked around, I just commanded in Jesus' name. And I said, I command these lungs to be open in the name of Jesus. Well, by the time we got around to the front, I saw that her expression was changing. Her eyes, you know, her eyes were wide and her eyebrows were up and she was kind of smiling. And we got to the front. I said, how you doing? And she didn't say anything. She's just smiling and looking around. I said, would you like to go again? Well, she didn't say she'd like to go again. She just took off running, dragging me behind her. So I'm like this, you know, and she's dragging me behind. She runs me around. She's jumping up and down. I'm totally winded. The oxygen lady, you know, she's running laps and jumping up and down and having the time of her life. I'm out of breath. I'm spent. But, you know, Jesus did that. She was on 8 different kinds of medication. And she went back to her doctor. She said, are you still taking this? Are you still taking that? No, 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 no. Plus her oxygen. She was off the oxygen. He said, what happened? Off the record. He goes, what happened? She said, well, do you believe in miracles? He said, yes, I do. And so then, you know, she told him the story that I just told you. She came on the radio with us and shared her testimony. Willa, who was here and was healed of her breathing problem, she came on the television and shared her testimony. And I thank God this is what I grew up with. And this is, you know, this is what a lot of folks are growing up with here. That my parents were Christians. But I didn't just step into it just because it was the family tradition. Just because this is what, you know, was passed down. And, well, you got to believe something, you know. You got to, something. No. No. My dad was in Vietnam. He was wounded in Vietnam. The doctor said he'd lose his hearing and could, due to a wound received in a firefight. And God restored his hearing. And he's now in his he's 65, and he could hear better now than when he was in his 20s, when he was first wounded, when he was in Vietnam. God healed his ear. Amen. He had all kinds of, he used to be out of work for a whole week with the flu every year, started to find out that God, Jesus was his healer, that Jesus could do something about that. And for the last 30 years that he worked for the company, he had perfect attendance. After the first, you know, first several years, 10 years or whatever, he was out a week every flu season. Bam, you just mark it on your calendar. He was out, you know. Well, everybody say Jesus does that. And Jesus is here tonight. He's here to help you tonight. And he is the same. Now, I don't, you know, people will often come to me and they'll bring up specific situations. Well, if God is the healer, what about what happened to this person? What about what happened to that person? What about what happened to my aunt? What about what happened to my uncle? Well, the first thing I'll tell you is I am not qualified to speak on every individual case. I don't know what happened with that person. I don't know what happened between them and God. But I can tell you this, the testimony of Jesus is clear in the Gospels. Amen. And I don't know what happens with each individual person, but I could tell you that Jesus Christ is the same. Amen. And he is the healer today like he's always been. And I can tell you this, any time that I've stepped out and acted on faith in his word like we are tonight and acted on in faith in his name and put action to what I believe, we always see people healed. How many here said, yeah, that's happened in these services here? I mean, we had Brother Rick give testimonies here tonight. So I can tell you this, if you'll put your faith in Jesus, like we said, what did they come? They came to hear and they came to be healed. They came with the intention of being healed. If you'll come to him the way they came to him, because he's the same and because he's still powerful like he's always been, he'll meet you here tonight. Amen. His power is here for you tonight, and it's here to help you. It's here to heal you, just like it has others. Praise God. We're not having this service, you know, just because we need something to talk about on Sunday night. We're having this service because people are helped when we bring them the healing power of Jesus. Amen. And he's here to help you. This isn't, you know, this is what you're trying to, you know, this is what the message of the gospel is. This is why we do all these things. We don't do it to try to just get people to think like us. We do it because it works and people are helped and the captives are set free. Amen? That's the only reason we do it. Well, everybody's got something to believe, you know. They don't just need another something to believe in. But people need help. And Jesus.